Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
Club Hawthorne Betting Bars, featuring horse racing, video slots, and sports betting throughout Chicagoland. Get ready for the Preakness this weekend. That's right. Should be wide open. We say good morning to Shay Norman.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
All good.
Jim Miller coming on Friday? Edzo?
I can get that done.
For the Preakness?
We'll do something. 100%.
Another big race happening.
100%.
I need some redemption from the Derby.
I made some money on the Derby.
Yeah.
I heard about that. I see your horse is posting third in the Preakness.
Mage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I had Mage in my little box. The next thing I know, I'm like, whoa, Cash City.
That's good. You had Mage in your box. That's good to know.
That's it.
Oh. That'll keep the listeners around. I was worried that we were going to get too deep into horse racing here.
There you go. All right, Shay, let's go. Rock and roll.
Cappy, I know you disagreed with me about this pre-show, but I want to ask you now because I have a sales pitch for the Bears. An interesting player in the news from the New York Jets, Quinnen Williams, is disgruntled amid a contract dispute. Yesterday, he wiped the Jets out of his Twitter bio. Ooh, it now just says defensive tackle for the ... last year, he had 12 sacks and over 50 quarterback pressures in fewer than 700 snaps from the three technique for the Jets. I'm of the opinion if the Bears went out and made a trade for him, it would make them an immediate contender. I'm not telling you that Jets will trade him or even that the Bears will make an offer. But you have the draft capital and you have the money to extend him. Shot or no shot, the Bears should at least pick up the phone.
That's a no shot.
Yeah, I'm with Hoodie on this. It's a no shot because you're not at that point yet. A year from now, different story. Different story. Right now, you want me to give up? He's going to cost you more than a first-round pick. More. He might be the number one three technique in the league. So they're going to say to you, we want the highest of the two first-round picks you have, us or Carolinas. We want another pick of substance.
Sure. Second or third round, something like that?
Maybe more.
Yeah.
Might be two ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants $100 million guaranteed, $150 million overall. I'm not at that point yet to give away draft capital like that. No.
I love that conversation in the offseason, meaning closer to this, when the season's over, like the way that the Bears made that deal with DJ Moore that's before the draft. I like deals like that.
Yep.
Because then it's like, hey, the draft's right around the corner. What can you offer me? Well, I've got this pick, all right? So, and I've got these assets to trade you. I like those before the draft deals. I do. And because you and I were looking at this whole deal with Carolina, we kept speculating, what are the Bears going to do with that number one pick? You're going to keep it. You're going to trade it. And they did it way before the draft. So I don't think that that's – I know that's a big what if, but I would say no shot to it.
You wouldn't even pick up the phone
Now. Nope.
You got to do due diligence at least, right?
I just don't know if the Bears are there yet with that. I still feel like there's some conservative nature with the Bears in some ways. Like, that was a big deal. I know it sounds like, oh, of course you trade the number one pick. And in years past, that wasn't as obvious, Cap. To have a high draft pick for the Bears to trade out of. Again, we haven't seen them have a number one pick forever. So I just think there's a little bit of conservative nature from polls that wouldn't pick up the phone and do that.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. First of all, he's a better player than Daron Payne, Jeffrey Simmons. Those guys signed for 22.5 and 23.5 per year this year. His price, they can tag him after this season. They could use the franchise. He's not going anywhere. I'll be stunned. In a season where they got Aaron Rodgers, they're all in to win, they're going to trade their best defender? I don't see it.
Because if you're the Jets, you want to get as many solid players in a position to try to succeed, if you can. again, I don't know their relationship. I just know it's a little, it's frosty, especially when the player takes his stuff off of his Instagram. I see it in front of me here. So I feel like there's going to be a negotiation. They'll find a way, Shea.
And to Cap's point, I wouldn't tell you that the Jets will trade him. I would also be surprised if they did. If I were Poles, I would at least pick up the phone. But the Jets would have to be remarkably stupid to do this. Then again, they're the Jets.
Now, I'll give you one. If I'm the Lions and I could acquire that kid for a bunch of draft capital, if you said to me, I'm Dan Campbell, and all of a sudden I got Aiden Hutchinson, and who's their other edge? They've got some guys.
On the Jets?
No, on the Lions.
Oh, okay.
Aiden Hutchinson and the other guys they have, and all of a sudden you drop Quinnen Williams in there, and you don't have to give up players, you just give up future draft cap, then you're all in to win the Super Bowl. That's a different story. Yeah. They're at a different stage.
They've got James Houston, Romeo Okwara, some other guys.
Shea.
All right, the Bulls tonight, boys, are like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
They have a 1.8% chance of getting the number one overall pick and the rights to draft Victor Wembanyama. Shot or no shot? If the Bulls don't get lucky, they're screwed.
Screwed? I mean, what does screwed mean?
They're just stuck in hell on the treadmill to nowhere.
Well, I don't like their front office. I think those guys have been wildly disappointing. I've been clear on that all season long. Now you decide you need shooting? Where were you a year ago? What are you doing with the injured point guard who's already been ruled out for all of next year?
Well, to answer the question directly, it's a shot. But you're shot even before this lottery tonight because you are 40-42.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the middle of the pack. You barely got into the play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
You played well enough to, 17-9 to be able to get into the play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
So just based on the roster cap, you're screwed anyway. It has nothing to do with the lottery. Like, if they get the number one pick, that'll be a miracle, right? Just like the Derrick Rose deal. Just as much of a miracle because it's less than 2%. But what I'm telling you is, like, as is, you're screwed. As is, because the roster just is not good enough.
You have to find a point guard this offseason. Can we stop with, we should re-sign Derrick Rose to be our point guard? He's not Derrick Rose from 10 years ago. Stop, please. He couldn't even get on the floor for the Knicks. You want to re-sign him to a one-year deal as a backup guy? Whatever. He's not your starting point guard.
No, I like to see him on the roster, though, because I think that he can make a difference in that locker room.
He's a great, great dude. I agree with you.
Every NBA team should have an old head in there to kind of direct. I didn't think Derek would be that guy.
He's our Udonis Haslam.
Fine. For my price.
I'm in.
Absolutely.
But as my starting point guard, stop. Please. So we've got to go get a point guard. They need to get at least two shooters. So,
you know, it's funny that the Bulls and the Knicks are kind of mirror each other. Is Brunson better than anything that the Bulls have in their roster? Jalen Brunson better than LaVine or DeRozan to you?
No, boy. He's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
I guess my point is that the
he's
Knicks,
right there. Those three, in that, put them in a hat, you pull one out, you get a good player.
The only reason why I said it is because the Bulls and the Knicks are two teams that don't have a one. Like, Zach LaVine on a good team is not the lead guy. And neither is DeRozan. And history proves that. I think that's one of the reasons why you have underachievement. First of all, poor front office. And then secondly, you don't have necessarily a quote-unquote go-to guy.
Agreed. We need, Shea, get some incense in here. Let's, like, do a little seance thing to kind of get this number one pick.
We're
going to
perform some religious ceremonies and get this pick got.
We will?
Yeah. We're gonna manifest this thing.
I left the incense at home. Jay Morty got some in your bag. You usually got some stuff there.
Let me see if I got any weed from Amsterdam in my
bag. What is weed going to do? You can't be high for this. You got to be locked in. You can't get stoned. We're trying to get the number one pick, damn it.
It has a dual purpose, doesn't it?
We got some sticky icky right here.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Joe Kim Noah's come in.
That.
Wow. Okay. I want, you know, it has a dual purpose, that stuff from overseas, right? The sticky icky, it smells good, and also you just burn the incense, right? Just the steam, the smoke comes off of that, and we can pray over it, right? That the Bears get the number one, that the Bulls get the number one pick.
Correct. We could put a cross here and a Jewish star there. And just start praying to every...
Just line them up across here, huh? A little Buddha?
Yeah. Put them all in. Muslim, everything. We get them all.
Hey, please. Padre, say a prayer for the Bulls!
As he yells from the back of the church.
Remember, I brought the letter and the Cubs hat to the Pope.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Next thing I know, the Pope's wearing a Cubs hat like he's a big fan when we won the World Series. Thank you. You're welcome.
Shay.
Reports yesterday.
Wait, there's no record scratch on the organ.
Oh, hey.
You can't. It's the organ. He just stops playing. There's no.
Yeah, you just got to, like, let off the pedal a little hard.
That's right. Let off the pedal. Get off the keys. That's how you do. There's no record scratch. Never mind.
Go ahead, Shay.
All right, boys. Reports yesterday implied that along with the Houston Rockets, James Harden is considering rejoining his Brooklyn teammate, Kevin Durant, in Phoenix this offseason. This would mark his fourth team in four seasons as he hunts for a ring. Shot or no shot, James Harden is a loser.
No, he's going to go down as one of the 25 greatest guards in the history of the sport. No, he's not a loser. He's just not a guy who's
just not a winner.
He's just not someone that wants to grind it out and build where he's at and find a way to finally achieve, get to the mountaintop. Like Giannis?
What are you, his agent? Well, that's nonsense there, what you just said.
Why?
That's just nonsense. You know what Shay's saying. He doesn't mean loser like loser in life. Just a loser
he
as
kinda does.
What do you mean?
I think he acts like one, but I also just... He's got a naked ring finger, man, and I don't see it. I don't think he's going to get one anytime soon. Like some guys, Joel Embiid, some guys just kind of have that stink on them where you can't get over the hump. I don't really think you're a winning player.
Okay, you're going to tell me Charles Barkley wasn't a winning player?
No, he was. I understand the question, Shay. I think you're ultimately saying is that anybody that just hopscotches around the country looking to glom onto a team, looking for a championship, is a loser. I understand what he's saying. He goes,
that too, yeah.
Why? I mean, that's where you're going, right, from the sports standpoint. Why is this guy so unsettled?
But is he hopscotching to find a win or a paycheck? Because if he's going to Houston, which is the other rumor, they're not close.
So is James Harden an NBA trick?
Yeah.
Is he tricking?
He's an NBA escort, is what he is.
I think that's fair. I think it's fair to say.
Like he's a high-level escort. He's not walking the street. Not a streetwalker.
Put that guy in P-Valley.
He's not working in a massage parlor. He is a high-level escort.
I got to tell you, if you're the Sixers and you want to go with that comparison, you also got an STD. Because that guy vanished in the playoffs when you needed him most.
No,
that's a lot of money for not a lot of return there. That's a bad night.
I think that in that sense, that is a shot, what Shay's asking. In that sense, why do you move all over the place? Go to Brooklyn, Houston, you're in Philadelphia, you're all over the country looking for a championship. He already has generational wealth.
But is he truly looking for a championship?
We got to do a list, man. Greatest NBA tricks. This guy is tricking for this championship.
Well, I can make a short list. I'll make a short list for you. Absolutely. James Harden's definitely on that list. Durant's on that list, too.
Yes.
Durant's on that list, too. Another trick. Why can't you just be settled, man? You told me, during the season, Durant's in Phoenix. Here we go. But the super team era is done. That's dead, Cap. You can't. You find pieces.
Like, Mike never did that.
No.
MJ.
Didn't have to.
Giannis never did that. He won a title.
Mm-hmm.
Michael kept grinding and they kept building and eventually they got it done.
Curry never did it.
Curry didn't do it. Klay Thompson didn't do it. Draymond didn't do it. So.
Yeah. So that is our look. I'm making a short list here. I got two more. I'm trying to make five. I got three so far. I'm going to make a short list of tricks around the NBA. Around the NFL, and don't forget Albert Breer at 8:35 on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 FM, HD2.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n J. Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he falls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap'n J. Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come, Albert Breer with the latest on the Bears in the NFL at 8:35. And we've got another Golf Center Displays giveaway here. Golf Center Displays, we're going to line up seven callers because it's PGA Championship Golf Week, Cap, as you well know. PGA Championship.
Yep. Can't wait. Another major. Love it.
We're going to line up seven contestants, an opportunity to win a $100 gift card to Golf Center Displays. Our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap'n J. Hood right here on ESPN 1000. Around the NFL with Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, let's start with this, Hoodie. It's yes. The first time that the streaming deals, to me, have jumped the shark. NBC Universal is reportedly paying about $110 million to the NFL for the rights to show a wild card playoff game on Peacock exclusively.
Okay, so there's a couple of things to think about here when it comes to this, Cap. Okay, so if through apps, you got your televisions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you paid for your cable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Through Xfinity.
Like, mm-hmm. Like me, you and I are both Xfinity people.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, you have some apps on your iPad and at home, right?
Yep.
That you pay for.
Yep. I've got the Apple TV app. I've got the Peacock app. I've got the... I don't know if we have Paramount. What else? Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
I got all that.
Netflix, all that
Netflix,
stuff, right?
Netflix, got that.
Okay. So bit by bit, we are paying through the nose away from cable television. We think, again, the basic cable is one thing, but as if we want more entertainment, we have to pay for it in tiers, right?
Correct.
We have to continue to pay for it.
Correct.
And the same thing here with the NFL. The NFL wants to be everywhere. This is the reason why it's a juggernaut. That's why it's a behemoth. You can't beat it. Cap, you can't beat the NFL because they're trying to be everywhere. They're on Amazon Prime here. They're on Peacock there. They're on every network. When you and I were coming up, it was on two networks, on CBS and NBC.
That was it.
That's where you can find your AFC and NFC package.
And then Monday Night Football started. Rune Arledge, rest in peace, started Monday Night Football. It was like, wow, a game on Monday?
There's a game on Sunday Night Football? Well, that's an odd thing. With Mike Patrick?
Mike Patrick and Paul McGuire.
It's like, that's odd. And Joe Theismann? That's odd. Football on Sunday nights? That'll never work. No one's watching on Sunday nights.
It's only the number one show every week.
It's like, no one thought that would work,
it's
right?
The best.
And so now, but I guess the point, Shay, is yes. Is it too much? Yes. But you know what? As I always say, you can't fight City Hall. People will find that game. Now, will it be as many viewers like it is on traditional cable? No. But people will find a way to find that game. Especially the playoffs, they'll find a way.
I got to tell you, I've talked to a few friends about this, too, who are into Premier League soccer, which is exclusively on Peacock. The games on Peacock, they've said, are often like 2 or 3 minutes behind the timeline. So you'll get notifications on goals 2-3 minutes before you actually see it. They got to figure this out, Hood. They can't have a Peacock playoff game 3 minutes behind the live product.
And I think one of the reasons why you bring that up is because gambling.
Yeah.
I like to know. I like to do my real-time gambling.
If you're going to live bet stuff, that you get totally eliminated. And this is the playoffs. This is also one of the biggest things in sports, NFL playoffs, and you're locking it away on Peacock? You've jumped the shark to me. We had Amazon Prime Thursday nights. That's fine.
Yeah.
Don't go putting a playoff game on Amazon Prime. What are we doing?
You would think NBC would find the room to put that on traditional NBC.
Okay, so like you took a check like this. Yeah. How many people did they lay off?
A ton.
A lot. We'll talk to Bert about that coming up.
Jim Trotter?
Yeah.
Because he questioned the commissioner.
Yep.
Doing his job. Get out. We had $110 million, but you people are all laid off. And by the way, let's not forget the older audience that listens out there that goes, Peacock. I'm just trying to find a Cubs game that's on Marquee.
Yes.
and it's one place and it's always there and they're trying to find it.
Right.
Oh, my cable doesn't have that, or my YouTube TV. I think it's an exceptionally disrespectful thing by the league to make it exclusive. You want to put it there and take a check? Have at it. But also make it available to people that don't have it.
I think it should be on both. Traditional NBC and Peacock. I just think it should be on both.
Agreed. What about the people that can't afford it? They're like, we're on a tight budget here. We can't buy Peacock and this and that.
Yeah.
That's my point, because the Sunday morning baseball is on Peacock now, and they locked it away behind the paywall. You have to get Peacock Premium to watch Sunday morning baseball. So you know what I do? I don't watch Sunday morning baseball.
Yes.
Because I don't need it that badly that I'm going to pay for another streaming service, the premium version of it. If they lock an NFL wild card game behind a paywall.
That's brutal. That's brutal. It really is. You won't get this, just like Amazon. That's not a successful venture just as of yet, Cap. Yeah, they get the games, but what's that averaging? 8 million? 7, 8 million? That's still a lot of people, but not as much as you would get on cable.
Is that all that's watching on Amazon?
But not as much as you get on cable.
Wow, I can't believe Amazon isn't doing better. They had a record number of signups.
They did fine, but then they bitched about the quality of the game, and that's why now you can play multiple Thursday night football games. Because they don't want to get Colts Broncos again, and that blank show.
Yeah, average 9.58 million viewers per game, but they had record signups for Amazon Prime.
Oh, I'm sure. But not as much as you'd get on CBS, NBC, ABC, ESPN, Fox. Wow. Shay.
Hoodie, this is a story about your former Georgia quarterback, Stetson Bennett. He enrolled at Georgia in 2017. He exhausted his athletic eligibility in the 2022 season and left Georgia now in 2023. He didn't graduate.
He didn't? What?
He has not graduated from the University of Georgia. He's received flack online because after nearly 7 years in school, he did not graduate.
What was he doing?
That bastion of academic excellence, the University of Georgia.
Don't blame Yuga. Don't blame University of Georgia. Blame that guy.
Agreed.
Blame four. Stetson Bennett the fourth. I don't have time for class. My class is football.
This is the most I didn't go to school to play school I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
He used full eligibility plus the COVID year and didn't get a degree out of it.
Think about that, Cap. Hello? Wow. You're on the Eschmeyer plan. You still didn't graduate?
Is he even close?
He's got to be close. I mean, he couldn't have been enrolled.
I don't know.
What is he, a halftime student?
No, I'm
How
serious.
Does this happen?
Do you see who just graduated? Todd Bowles. Just graduated. Well, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, busy.
Went back to school. Said, I promised I got to get this degree. And Justin just graduated. And his sister.
So your class was football. There's no credits in football outside the national championship.
Guess what? He won two titles.
No, I understand that. But get your education while you're there. No, that shocks me. I did not know that story.
What was he doing? Like, how was he there? You have to be enrolled as a student to play, right?
Yes.
There's no shot that you could go to school for that long and be academically eligible and not graduate. How is this possible?
They're very lucky the NCAA doesn't snatch banners for not going to class.
Wow.
You know how many banners would be snatched for that?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, your quarterback was not eligible because he didn't go to class. No national championship. Can you imagine that?
Listen, we saw what happened at North Carolina. They don't take anything away for that.
Holy cow. Not surprising.
You could forge the Scantrons and they'd be like, listen, Georgia, as long as you're winning, we're cool with it.
It's just something, man. And that is our look around the National Football League here on ESPN 1000. I had no idea that was the case. Stetson Ford did not go to class. You're there for a decade. You still didn't get a degree? Didn't walk across? Seriously?
Who drafted him?
Falcons, right?
He was drafted late. Late?
Not like the fourth round. Hold on.
I don't know.
Stetson Bennett draft. Stetson Bennett is now a Ram.
Yeah, in the fourth round.
Fourth round, okay. They'll cut him.
Go.
They'll cut him. Coming up, around we will hear from Allard Breer. as we talk more football with Albert Breer, the latest on the Bears and the NFL with Albert. Coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Chicago Cubs fell short against the Astros 6-4 yesterday. Christopher Morel with a 3-run homer in the fourth. Cody Bellinger left the game with an apparent knee injury after a catch at the wall. The next game for the Cubs will take place at 7:10 today from Houston. The Bulls are hoping to turn the trick in the lottery. Not that trick, no. They hold a 1.8% chance for a number one pick tonight. The NBA's conference finals start tonight. The Lakers will take on the Nuggets in game one tonight at 7 o'clock. The Celtics and the Heat start tomorrow. The conference finals are set in the NHL as Dallas eliminate the Seattle Kraken in game seven. Bless you. Stars and the Golden Knights in the West and the Panthers and the Hurricanes in the East. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
We turn to Albert Breer, who covers the National Football League for SI.com, a Monday morning quarterback. He's on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Good morning, Albert. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome, Albert. Great to talk to you, buddy.
Albert,
you too.
We need to talk to you about some of the things that you put on social media, especially we were just talking about how the NFL is going to be on Peacock here, not on traditional NBC, but Peacock for a wild card game, right, Cap?
That is correct. And your tweet where you said, league just got $110 million, laid a bunch of people off, and now they're going to tell certain people, well, you don't have Peacock? Too bad. You lose out on a playoff game. I think it's disrespectful. I think it's awful.
Yeah, and you know, Cap, like what I don't like is being lied to. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, if this is who you are, this is who you are, but don't lie to us about it. You know, and they laid a bunch of people off, and you know, full disclosure, I used to work at NFL Network, so some people I know felt the sting of that. And, you know, then they put out a statement, this self-serving statement, that it's like due to the economic realities of 2023. I think we all know what this is, and, you know, we don't have to have a big picture conversation here, but the tech companies had layoffs at the beginning of this year, which a lot of other companies saw as a green light to conduct layoffs, right? And so the NFL is just capitalizing on an opportunity to cut costs. And, like, then they act as if it's part of some broader reality that they're facing in 2023. Meanwhile, right over here, they literally made $110 million appear out of thin air. You guys know how this works, right? Like, this wasn't even part of the broadcast deal. This was NBC paying them $110 million just to move the game off of network TV and on to streaming. That's it. The NFL didn't do anything.
But how does the broadcast channels, Fox or NBC or CBS, go, oh, well, we paid you already. You're taking the game away from us. Do they get a rebate there?
No, because NBC already had the game. So NBC already had the game, but they wanted to put it on streaming because they want to use streaming. They want to use the playoff game to prop up their streaming product so more people will subscribe.
Got it.
And because the ad revenue then, you know, obviously is greater for them because they're going direct to consumer. So, like, you know, I think this sort of goes back to, and the history here, if you go back 10 years, do you guys remember when, like, FS1 launched and NBC was trying to put, like, some weight behind its cable network and CBS Sports Network, same thing, right? So, like, they decided we're going to expand the Thursday night package. And so, you know, back then the idea of, like, these networks bidding on it was, like, okay, like, well, we're going to use Thursday night football to prop up our sports network and to legitimize our cable network. And the NFL basically said to them, no, you're not going to use Thursday night football to prop up your cable network. we're going to use your over-the-air network to prop up Thursday Night Football, right? So, like, back then, essentially, the NFL used the leverage it had with the games to force those games, those Thursday Night games, onto over-the-air television. So, like, the NFL always wants these games, as many of them as possible, on over-the-air television. And if the networks want to use the games to prop something else up, well, then they've got to give the NFL something to do it. So NBC already had the two playoff games on Wild Card Weekend. They had to pay the extra $110 million just to pull it off the over-the-air network and put it on the streaming product. So then people would be compelled to subscribe to Peacock. And thank God I'm a Comcast subscriber because I get Peacock for free.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, obviously there are going to be a lot of football fans. We're going to have some decisions to make in January.
So I guess, Albert, because the NBC has the temerity, the power to move it to their streaming network, I mean, Fox is powerful, you know, CBS and Paramount is powerful, but NBC seems like they're in the lead. They got what I think is the best package with the Sunday Night Football. They do a great job with that. They're going to move one of their playoff games to Peacock. So out of all the networks, does NBC wield the most power?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could say so because, again, they get the premier game every week. Games are getting flexed into that window, and they're premier games that get flexed into that window. So, you know, NBC's got the least inventory, but, like, they do, you know, carry a big bat because it's sort of the legacy of the old Monday Night Football, right, Hoodie?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, not to, like, when Monday Night Football was the biggest game, right? And then I think it was 2006 they switched that, right? Like, where it was like, okay, like, and I mean, I remember this. You guys remember, too, right? Like, where, I mean, at one point, like, Sunday Night Football was on, like, TNT or TBS,
right?
Like, half the games were, at least.
Yeah.
And it was sort of, and it was sort of like a throwaway game versus what Monday Night was. Then they switched that, and this becomes sort of the game of the week product for the NFL. And so NBC having that certainly gives them a certain amount of power. They don't have the number of games that the other networks do, but they have the most important one.
The old Mike Patrick, Paul McGuire booth.
Yeah, exactly, with Joe Theismann.
Yeah. Well, for me it was growing up was Frank and Alan Dan. That was like what I remember from my childhood.
All right, so I want to ask you about the Chicago Bears because Hoodie and I are all in on take your time, build this the right way. You got an offensive lineman. You drafted a couple interior guys. And then we're looking at all the power rankings. I have them at 7-10. Hoodie has them between 7-8. There's a couple games in there. Do they beat Denver here? Is Denver better and they don't beat them? My question to you is the power rankings we're seeing from whoever to whoever. I'm talking about credible people. 29th, 27th, 21st. Yeah. Where do you have the Bears?
I mean, I'd have to sit down and you know, like, it's like one of those things like where, you know, you see a lot of these projections over the, you know, like this time of year and everybody's optimistic. And then if you add up the league, like the league is like 40 games over 500. It's like, no, it can't work that way, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
where there are too many teams that have too many wins. You know, I think the Bears have a really good chance to be competitive, though. And here's the reason why. I think, you know, the way Ryan Poles has built it, he's built it to be competitive in year two. And, you know, I can remember, like, saying this about the Eagles going into the year that they won.
Albert?
I think we lost our guy. All right, we'll get him back.
Yeah.
We'll
like,
get him back.
Looks like we lost him.
Yeah.
We'll get a quick break, and we want him to finish up his thoughts.
Yeah, we want to hear his thoughts on Quinnen Williams, too.
Absolutely. Cap and Jay Hood on the Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com is with us every Tuesday right here on Cap and Jay Hood. Cap, what was your question again to Albert?
So I just want to know, I have them at 7 wins, Hoodie's at 7 or 8. Where do you have this Bears club? Because I don't think they're all in yet. I think they're a year away.
Sorry for my my sketchy cell phone service there, first of all.
All good.
What I was saying was, like, I go back to, like, you know, looking at like dark horse teams over the years, and you know, I always sort of lean towards teams that are really strong on the lines of scrimmage, and this is one reason why. Like I looked at the Eagles as a dark horse the year before they won the Super Bowl, and nobody was going to say they were going to do that. I'm not saying, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying it to pat myself on the back, but it's one thing. You know, you remember when you get something right, and my whole logic on it was, well, you know, they're very strong on the lines of scrimmage, and typically teams that are strong in those areas are in every single game. And so I think Ryan Poles' investment in the lines of scrimmage has a real chance to pay off here. Like, if Darnell Wright, Braxton Jones, whoever plays right, whoever plays left, solidify the tackle position, now all of a sudden you've got something up front there. And if on the other side of the ball, you know, some of the investment you made deep in the draft and gain a Florida defensive tackle, some of that pays off. Now all of a sudden you're a different looking team than you were a year ago. So I think it's going to be a really competitive team that has a chance to come on late in the year. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers is out of the division, I think does change a few things. The Vikings are resetting a few things. So I certainly think they have a chance to flirt with 500. Are they going to make the playoffs? No. But in a weakened NFC, I certainly think that they're going to be competitive on a week-to-week basis. And I base a lot on that, on the improvement I think they're going to make up front on both sides of the ball.
Bears really need some help on the defensive line. So what's the latest on Chase Young? Because that's a name that's around Bears circles that we've talked about.
Yeah, you know, the Commanders aren't shopping him, but I think, you know, I think everybody knows the score here. They paid Jonathan Allen. They paid Daron Payne. But now they have both Montez Sweat and Chase Young going into contract years. And so chances are it's going to be really difficult to keep both of them, especially if they both have good years. And so how do you handle that if you're the Commanders? Well, you know, like chances are you're probably looking at a situation where you're not going to be able to keep both, and if you feel better about Sweat right now than you do about Young, based on Young's injury from last year or the last couple of years, you know, then like I think that's where you would start to listen. So they're not shopping him, but if you go and dangle the right sort of package of picks, then I think you'd certainly get the Commanders to listen. The problem, guys, is that, like, you know, I would say, like, you know, before the draft, it might have been a little easier to do this than it would be now, just because if you're Ron Rivera or Marty Herney or Martin Mayhew, are you really concerned about build capital for 2024 when, I mean, you were probably already fighting for your job to begin with, and now you got new ownership coming in, which probably puts you in an even more tenuous situation. I think that's why it could get a little tricky putting together the right sort of package to go and get him. But maybe you could include a current player in that mix to entice him to do it.
Before we let you go, give us the latest on Quinnen Williams. Shea was saying, boy, could the Bears go out and grab him? And I think the price would be prohibitive when you haven't finished building what you're trying to build.
Cap, what does the calendar say?
May 16.
I swear to God, I how dumb it's going to look. Like, all these posts, I've seen them on the internet already. Quinnen Williams trade destination posts. How dumb all these are going to look in 3 months when that guy is wreaking havoc for the Jets. I would totally disregard all of that. Like, I mean, look, like the Deebo Samuel situation was much more tenuous than this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is just the time of year when those guys have to rattle cages, you know? I mean, we're at the point now where, I would just say, like, because of the holdout rules, the training camp holdout rules, if guys are ever going to rattle cages and try to put pressure on their teams, it almost has to be in the spring now, because the rules against holding out in the summer have become so prohibitive. And so this is the time of year when you wipe your social media, when you don't show up to the voluntary stuff, all of that. Like, this is when you do that. Ultimately, I can't imagine a scenario where the Jets would look at this, being in the sort of win-now spot they're in with Aaron Rodgers on their team, and look at almost anything as being the right sort of give-back to trade off Quinnen Williams. I'd be stunned if he wasn't a Jet in the fall, whether it's with a new contract or not.
Albert, what's the latest on your phone? Something that you haven't told anyone else?
Oh, You haven't asked me that in a while, Hoodie. I wasn't ready. I mean, we've talked about Caleb Williams and Drake May, right? Yeah. Like that a lot of the league sees those two guys as being the better than any quarterback in this year's class. And I think that that sort of is going to hold. I would say, like, the tanking conversation is going to start earlier this year than it ever has before. Having not one but two of those guys in the draft, like, and now you're starting to hear what teams really think of it. And, you know, coming out of the draft, like, how many teams pass on quarterbacks and they have the opportunity to do it, thinking that there's going to be better opportunity next year? And it's not just those two guys either, you know? Like, I think beyond those two guys, like Quinn Ewers from Texas, Michael Penix from Washington, J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, like, there are a lot of guys who, like, if they were in the draft right now, they wouldn't be first-round picks, but certainly have, like, the physical tools to get there if they have a really strong fall. So, we went from, in 2022, there being no quarterbacks, to 2023, there being kind of a flawed but intriguing group. Like, you know, next year we're going to get to the point where I think we're talking about potentially not only four or five quarterbacks going in the first round, but two of them going 1-2 without question, and a stronger 1-2 than you had this year, you know, and then on top of that, maybe some other guys that are really solid, like this guy would be a first rounder in any year types.
Albert, as always, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Great one.
Albert Breer from SI.com, a Monday morning quarterback with us on the Cap and Jay Hood morning show on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom. Don't worry, call the comments, man.
First seven callers right now, you can be assigned a random golfer in this weekend's PGA Championship. Each day this week until Thursday, we will assign seven golfers through the top 20 with the final qualifier getting the field. The contestant will win a $100 gift card. You get the winning golfer for the PGA Championship, we got you. $100 gift card to Golf Center Des Plaines.
Yeah, it's an awesome place. Awesome.
So line up, again, if you're a golf fan or know of one, line up because you get a chance to win a $100 gift card to Golf Center Displays, our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood. By the way, Cap, today is National Piercing Day. National Piercing Day. Would you consider getting a pierce?
No.
If you were getting a pierce, where would you get it pierced?
Oh my God! What do you think I am, Dennis Rodman?
How about a piercing right there?
No,
on the bullseye.
No, no, I would not get a piercing.
Tattoo guy, but not a piercing guy.
Correct.
What do you think is more painful? I mean, a tattoo is not easy. I'm sure to get it.
A piercing is brief, like, then you're done.
Yeah.
Tattoo. I mean, my shark took over 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it gets in, when they go like underneath your arm here,
yeah,
dude. It you're grimacing.
I don't know if I'd get. I don't know if I'm going to get either. I guess if I was going to choose,
you have no ink.
No, I do have some ink, but not on my body. In my body, but not on my body. No.
Wow. You should get some. I think it's a cool process, and I like it. I'm actually getting a new one.
Jay Moore, do you think I should get ink?
Yeah, you should get a little something.
Should I? Arm?
Yeah. You have any, Jay Moore?
Yeah, I got some.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should get you a nice sleeve, Teddy.
Okay. Right. Only if you go with me.
I'll be right there to hold your hand.
That's exactly. I need you to hold my hand. That's the only way I'd go. Ah, God! I'm going to need some help there.
It's funny, like, when the weather warms up and I have a t-shirt on and I've run into some friends of mine who I have, or people that I was acquaintances with, is a better way to put it. And they'll be like, you have tattoos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I got seven of them. So?
Jay Moore would be at the tattoo place holding my hand. I'm like, man, this is painful. And Jay Moore would say, man, that's wild. That's probably it.
That's crazy, man.
That's crazy. In 2 minutes, we'll have more for you as we talk about the Bears. There's a dispute in the power rankings about the Bears. Who has it right the most? We'll talk about it in 2 minutes right here on Cap and Jay Hood.